If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wide receiver rankings. Is Keenan Allen the new number two in Los Angeles Chargers? We're breaking that down right now. Wide receiver 16 to 20 on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm going to start over. Fuck it. I'll just edit that later. So bad. That was super bad. All right. Going to start over. Fuck it. All right. Wide receiver rankings, the new Chargers wide receiver 2, here to discuss why Keenan Allen is not the number one in Los Angeles starting right now on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Don't be fooled by the plain background, folks. We got plenty of heat and excitement on this podcast today as we discuss the final wide receiver rankings, episode 16 to 20 on today's show. Make sure before you do, give us a follow on Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. Make sure you're also checking us out on IG and TikTok at Razzball Fantasy. And also make sure you're going to Razzball.com. We have a lot of exciting stuff going on the baseball, basketball, hockey, and football side, but we're also excited to announce all the tools we have. The ADP tool, we have the consensus dynasty rankings, we have all the rankings you need to win your fantasy draft, so make sure you jump over to Razzball.com to check those out. Bringing in my co-host for today, his name is Donkey Teeth. He's the man behind the rankings. What's going on, DT?
Yes, real name, Donkey Teeth. That is my real name. It's good to see you, Bobby. I'm excited to be on the show talking wide receivers again.
Absolutely, man. Today we're going to do 16 to 20 before we hop on over to quarterbacks and tight ends. And this is kind of like the guys that you start seeing in that third, fourth round range. Very important part of the draft, especially if you're drafting early running back. These are probably the guys most players will have potentially as their high-end wide receiver one or wide receiver two on their teams. So let's get into the first one on our list today. Number 20, Chris Godwin. His current ADP on Razzball.com is wide receiver 29, going 63rd overall. So talk to us why you're nine spots higher on Chris Godwin.
Yeah, well, hey, God help you if this is your number one wide receiver. You're brave. You're a brave man. I think I might be a little bit high on Chris Godwin. I'll admit it. There's a lot of risk with Godwin coming off of the injury, you know. All of the fake doctors out there on Twitter and the real doctors on Twitter seem to be a little bit concerned that maybe they're rushing him along. I don't know. I really don't know what to make of it. I know our guy, and actually, Bobby, I don't know if this is public information, but we got a new injury guy, Deepak, and he's not excited about drafting Chris Godwin either. He's got a flag on Godwin in his soon-to-be-coming-out kind of injury. What do we call it, Bobby? Spreadsheet?
Yeah, injury index that we'll be using. Yeah,
that's the word. We're
dropping that this weekend, by the way. So this is a good plug. This weekend we'll be dropping a new article. Basically, it's a buy-sell tool that you could use for every injured player. And we're basically telling you at their ADP whether you buy or sell them. And like DT just said, Chris Godwin is a sell, according to Deepak. We'll have more information this weekend on that.
Yeah, so this is tough for me. I'm definitely higher than most on Godwin. I've always been higher than most on Godwin. I love him. He's got great chemistry with Brady. He's more consistent than Evans. It's hard for me to rank him below this, but I think I'm probably going to end up dropping him down a couple spots. Somebody pointed out when I posted these top 20 that I don't have T. Higgins in here. And the more I looked at it, you know, I'm probably, looking over Higgins and how good he was last year, just because of how much I like Ja'Marr Chase and how much focus I put on him. But that offense is going to be really fun in Cincinnati. And, you know, I don't look at it as Ja'Marr Chase like detracting from T. Higgins. I think Burrow's going to be throwing a lot. So I think Higgins is probably ultimately going to be number 20 here for me, but I am higher on Godwin than most. It's just, this is a really risky player to be drafting as, you know, if you're fading running back, I wouldn't go with Godwin as my first wide receiver. I'd go with something maybe a little bit safer.
You know, I did my own analysis on this because I was curious, and I did my own research. It's actually on razzball.com right now about is injury discounts, is it actually fool's gold, or does it actually give you hidden gems in drafts? And what I found is actually it's better to fade guys coming off serious injuries the year afterwards. There was a 71 of the players in my study actually did not meet their ADP the next season. So what I did is positional ADP versus positional points per game finish in PPR. And 71% is usually the bench. 70% is usually the benchmark that I like to see. And that made me feel a little hesitant on a guy like Godwin. However, at wide receiver 29, now your aggressive ranking of him is fine, but I think I would feel more comfortable where his ADP is right now because you can get him at that 6-7 turn. You might not even need him right away to be a starter on your team because if you draft enough wide receivers and running backs. So there is that. However, one of the things I will bring up is when you start drafting these guys higher in their positional ranking. So if you start drafting a guy in the top 18 at their position, the hit rate for missing their ADP is 76%. So it actually goes up. The more aggressive you get on these players, you typically don't get the return you want. So I actually would rather have seen T. Higgins here personally. But at the same time, Chris Godwin would have been my favorite player this season if it wasn't for the injury. I think he would have had a big time. There was plenty of regression that he had back to his normal means. He would have been an absolute stud. But unfortunately, because of the injury, I will be probably waiting until that 6-7 turn. Let's jump down to number 19. DJ Moore, currently today, DJ Moore is going at wide receiver 16, 40th overall. So you're actually three spots behind him. And we've actually seen him start creeping into that 2-3, 3-4 turn range. So talk to us a little about DJ Moore, maybe why you're a little bit behind ADP.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about this last week, Bobby. Like, these guys are all relatively close. I feel like we're splitting hairs if we're saying three spots below. You know, I moved him around like four times when I was doing these, and I probably had him one spot ahead at one point. So, yeah, it's close. I think ultimately what ended up having me move him down from like 15 or 16 down here to 19 was just the perceived lack of upside in my mind. He hasn't scored more than four touchdowns in his career, four seasons. I tried to, you know, like spin this narrative in my mind. And when I was writing these up that, well, okay, you know, we got Baker Mayfield coming in, you know, new quarterback, this could all change. And then, you know, I'm like, you know, DJ Moore, he's a lot like Jarvis Landry. Let's look at his numbers. And it's like Jarvis Landry did not score a whole lot of touchdowns with Baker Mayfield. So he did have 1-6 touchdown season. I it's not impossible that DJ Moore just totally breaks out and clicks with Baker Mayfield. I think that there is some upside there. It'd just be kind of shocking if he came out and scored 10 touchdowns or something like that. So, you know, I'm an upside drafter, Bobby. I think there's a pretty high floor with DJ Moore. So if you're looking for that kind of safe wide receiver too, I think that's what DJ Moore is. It's just that I wouldn't plan on him being a wide receiver one.
We are Spider-Man memeing because I literally, my notes are talking about Jarvis Landry. And here we go. So the average finish for the wide receiver one in the Baker Mayfield Cleveland era is 30.5. That is the average points per game PPR finish, 30.5. On top of that, his points per game was 13.2. So it's basically Jarvis Landry for the last 4 years in Cleveland, and he averaged 13.2 PPR points per game. Okay, those are all wide receiver three type numbers. However, some things that really kind of benefited this that we could look at as a positive. Number one, he averaged a 25% target share in those seasons. That's very good. That's kind of elite. And it doesn't seem like that because he doesn't have these crazy spiked years, but the Cleveland Browns did not throw a lot. They, on average, averaged 597 dropbacks per year. Now, under Ben McAdoo, that's almost 50 dropbacks more a season. Ben McAdoo in his four seasons with the Giants, up to 644. So there's more volume and growth. So I could see there an opportunity for DJ Moore to get more volume in this passing game that Jarvis Landry never saw. So that does give him a bump. But at the same time, you know, that's like another 11 targets or so for the season. Okay, how much more is that going to jump him up? That's probably going to get you to this wide receiver 19-20 range. So I do agree with you there. However, if you look at DJ Moore, last year he had 163 targets already. He's already had this crazy spiked target season, and he still only had four touchdowns. And I thought to myself, maybe it's where he's getting targeted. It's not. He actually had 9 end zone targets last year. That's right around the top 20 in the NFL, and he converted 4 of those for touchdowns. So it's not like he's not getting end zone targets, which are the most high-valued ones, and it's not like he's not scoring on those. It just seems very weird. The rest of it, he doesn't really have many big plays. He's not catching 50-yard touchdown bombs. Most of his targets that go for touchdowns are ending up in the end zone and probably inside the red zone. So I don't know. I actually think I agree with you on this one. I think I might even have him might be a slight lower, maybe in that 20 to 24 range. Not 100% sure yet, but I do agree with this ranking. Absolutely. Let's jump down to the next one here. The flagship of our today's program, Keenan Allen. I kept saying Las Vegas instead of Los Angeles because I'm a psychopath. But it's Keenan Allen at number 18. His current ADP is actually wide receiver 10, 27th overall. So you're 8 spots lower on Allen. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that you're high on Mike Williams. So talk to us about why you made that switch, essentially.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it is all about Mike Williams. And really the same thing I said about DJ Moore. I mean, the floor on Keenan Allen is so rock solid. We know what we're going to get. It's 100 receptions. It's 1,200 receiving yards. The touchdowns are, you know, a little bit of the question mark there. But I think Mike Williams is the guy. He's the big man that, and he's got really good chemistry with Justin Herbert already. I think 6 touchdowns is the ballpark that we're looking at with Keenan Allen. He's done this for the past 4 seasons, pretty much. He's a wide receiver too. And if Mike Williams wasn't there, if he had like a skeleton crew of other wide receivers around him and Herbert was kind of forced to key in on Keenan Allen, I absolutely think he could be, you know, an upper echelon wide receiver 1 in fantasy, but that's not the situation here. So it's, again, the upside feels a little bit capped to me just because of Mike Williams. And you know, I love Mike Williams. Obviously we went over that 2 shows ago. I think we know what we're getting from Keenan Allen. It's really good. If you want to put a premium on knowing what you're going to get and having that floor, I'm totally fine with moving him up. I think that that's what's being priced into that draft cost. And if that's the way you play the game, that's totally fine. But we've gone over it over and over and over on these shows, Bobby. I want upside. Give me the upside. I don't care if I get nothing out of it, a pile of dust in my hand. I'm shooting for the stars, man.
Yeah, I called you a sick puppy on this one because I liked it. I digged it. You know, I'm actually – Mike Williams is one of the guys early, like way back in March when I started doing some preliminary stuff, and I'm like, I'm going to be super high on him this year. The question comes, is he higher than Keenan Allen? Here's some notes on Keenan Allen. So last year, he was the wide receiver 12 in points per game in PPR, and I think maybe because I'm PPR, you're half PPR, it might change things a little bit here. But he averaged 16 PPR points per game last year. His weighted opportunity, so where he's getting looks. So this talks a little bit about what you said, red zone targets, end zone targets, the types of looks he's getting. His weighted opportunity last year would have made him the wide receiver 5. So he's still getting very nice looks, but he's getting them in decent volume as well. But his career efficiency would have been wide receiver 15. So he's still, no matter where you shake the data, he's still top 15. Now, the reason why I believe both these guys could be top 15 wide receivers easily is because of the pass volume. Last season, the Chargers threw the ball 674 times, and that is not an outlier. I mean, yeah, so it's 674 times, and that's not an outlier for Joe Lombardi. Look at the Matthew Stafford seasons. They were throwing the ball well over 600 times as well in just 16 games, and the league average is 585. It's hard for teams who don't throw at this insane rate to give you 2 top 15 receivers. This is one of the teams that can. So actually, I would be even a little more aggressive with Keenan Allen, even though you're aggressive on Mike Williams. So I actually might have both those guys.
Hey, this is Steve Gorman, radio host, sports commentator, former drummer for the Black Crowes. The winter holidays are here, a time for festive celebrations, family gatherings, and ringing in the new year. Whether it's a holiday party, a night out with friends, or just relaxing by the fire with a few drinks, it's a season full of good cheer. But here's something else to add to your holiday plans, a safe and sober ride home. Just like in sports and music, always have a game plan. And the most important part of any plan is sticking to it. If you plan to drink, take that plan a step further. Call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or have a designated driver lined up before the night begins. Drinking and driving is a decision that can change your life and the lives of others forever. A DUI, a crash, an injury, the consequences are real and lasting. So please, for your sake and for everyone else on the road, make the smart choice. Get a sober ride home. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
My top 15 this season. Let's jump on to number 17, Michael Pittman. Now, Pittman's currently going wide receiver 13, 33rd overall, so you're about four spots lower than our consensus ADP over on Razzball.com. So tell us a little bit about why Pittman is four spots lower.
You know, again, splitting hairs.
I like doing this to you. I like doing this to you because you're always like, well, it's like splitting hairs here. I know. But,
four spots. Right? I mean, you look at a guy like Mike Williams, I got him like, what, 10 spots higher? Okay, now we're talking. I got Godwin 9 spots higher. That's a little outrageous. But Pittman, yeah, I think I'm right around consensus. You know, I see that the upside is huge. We saw that monster stretch from him mid-season last year. The talent is undeniable. He's huge. He's athletic. He's got everything that you want out of a number one wide receiver as far as physical build and talent. The question mark comes from Matt Ryan, really. You know, we got Matt Ryan coming into a new offense. We don't know how these guys are going to click, but at the same time, there's really not a whole lot of competition for targets there. So it's, you know, it's Michael Pittman show, right? So I could see drafting him. I could see him finishing as a wide receiver one just because of opportunity. And, you know, his ceiling really is very high if he hits that, you know, 95th percentile outcome and Matt Ryan just comes in and totally dominates in this new offense. But that's the unknown and that's the risk and why I've probably got him a few spots below consensus. But, you know, I see both the sides. What do you think, Bobby?
I'm a big Michael Pittman guy. But his wide receiver 13 is aggressive already, right? So it's already kind of right where I kind of feel comfortable drafting him. I'll have a lot of Michael Pittman anyway. Don't care. Here's why. So this is the thing. Last year, I talked about this a lot. Carson Wentz and the Colts were extremely conservative. They were one of the most conservative offenses in football. They only threw the ball. They threw the 27 most pass attempts in the NFL. I don't think a lot of people realize that because they were a decent offense with Carson Wentz. He threw 27 touchdowns, but they didn't throw a lot. And I think a lot of it had to do with them disguise. They had to protect Carson Wentz because of his style. Frank Wright does not want to be conservative. If you look at it, with Andrew Luck in 2018, they were second in the NFL in pass attempts. But then after that, it's been Brissett, Rivers, and Wentz. But even if you look at Phillip Rivers last year, Rivers threw the ball more in 16 games than what Wentz threw in 17 games last year. So this, I see that kind of getting bumped up a little bit. And just from that alone, you're going to see, I guarantee you're going to see Pittman climb from that wide receiver 30 range in PPR points per game last year to the wide receiver 20 range, even without the efficiency metrics you could talk with Matt Ryan. But however, here's another one. Look at all the number one receivers. We can talk Julio, Calvin Ridley, Roddy White. All these number ones had monster seasons with and top 5 to 6 wide receiver seasons with Matt Ryan. But look at Russell Gage last year. Now, you have to actually take some games out. If you look at the last 10 weeks, essentially when they came back from London and they realized Ridley's not coming back, last 10 weeks, he averaged 14.9 PPR points per game. That would have been wide receiver 20 last year. That's Russell Gage, folks, as the number one. So I think that's like the baseline. So I'm all in on Pittman this year. I think this guy is the sky's the limit. And I think Matt Ryan is actually better. Look at Calvin Ridley's touchdowns with Matt Ryan. 10, 7, 9 before last season. So I know Julio struggled in the red zone, but I think it might have been some other thing. So I actually think Michael Pittman's going to be huge this year. All right, let's jump down to the new money, man. Money bags, Mike. Deontay Johnson, current ADP, wide receiver 15, 39th overall. If you guys haven't heard, he got paid by the Steelers. So this is different. This is different narrative. Not a lot of people outside of AB have been paid by the Steelers, so they must really value this kid. So what's your thoughts on Deontay Johnson? At wide receiver 16, you're actually right in line with ADP.
Yeah, and I feel higher on him. Like, it just feels like I'm higher on him, and it's weird that he falls in line with ADP because we talked about it on the Kenny Pickett show way back when we started doing these, Bobby. Like, I actually believe in the Steelers coaching staff getting the most out of Trubisky. I think that they see something in him, and I think that's going to bode really well for Deontay Johnson. And of course, like now we see it, they believe in Johnson too, or they wouldn't be paying him, but he was the wide receiver 9 last year in half PPR formats. So, you know, I guess I'm down a little bit on him without Big Ben. Maybe it comes back to that idea of really wide receiver 16 and wide receiver, you know, I don't know, 11 are pretty close in my book. So, it's probably pretty close to the same tier for me as where I've got AJ Brown and Jalen Waddle. So that's probably higher than where most people have him. So I think I'm a little more aggressive. I see Trubisky outperforming people's expectations. I think Deontay Johnson, I mean, he's seen 300 targets over the past two seasons. I don't think that that's going to change. I think we see a heavy dose of Deontay Johnson this season. You know, I'm probably higher than most on Claypool too, and George Pickens, all of the above. But I guess that's my elevator pitch. I don't know if I gave much of one there. He sees a lot of volume, and I think Trubisky outperforms most people's expectations.
I am 100% out on Deontay Johnson. I'm sorry. So here's a couple things. Number one, I got to go on a little bit of a rant here because this is going to drive me crazy. So last season, there's a guy named Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson, everybody talked about Allen Robinson. He's going to have the best quarterback of his career, a rookie Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. You know who the quarterback they thought was worse than those guys is? Mitch Trubisky, okay? They thought that Mitch Trubisky wasn't as good as Andy Dalton. That was the narrative around Allen Robinson. He always got the best quarterback of his playoff career. Now, when it comes to quarterback changes, unless it's an elite change, like a Russell from a Teddy B to a Russell Wilson or a Jared Goff to a Matthew Stafford, I personally rather have the continuity on offense than the change. I know maybe Mitch Trubisky is marginally better than or a little bit better than, you know, end of career Big Ben. However, it's the continuity that Big Ben had targeting Deontay Johnson. Now, Big Ben, when he targeted, you know, Chase Claypool, was terrible. But when he targeted Deontay Johnson, not only was he okay, but he actually targeted him like Aaron Rodgers targets Davante Adams. Okay, 166 targets last year. That is not going to happen again. Plus, Big Ben and the Steelers threw the ball 664 times last year. Mitch Trubisky in his three big seasons with Matt Nagy, those three big years, they averaged 568 attempts. So right there, you're going to glob off over 100 attempts probably in this offense. And I don't see Deontay returning to that those heights. And once you throw this monkey wrench in there with the – we don't know what Mitch Trubisky's tendency is going to be. Is it going to be – because Big Ben threw the ball 5 yards to Deontay every freaking time, and that's what happened. So I just I'm not interested. I get a lot of Allen Robinson feels from last year on this one, and I'm going to say to myself, I'm going to wash my hands of it. I will take Michael Pittman's of the world. I'll take Keenan Allen's. I'll take a DJ Moore over Deontay this year. But before we go, I'll let you comment back on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that it falls back to my philosophy of upside. And to me, Deontay has the higher upside than those guys. I totally get the risks. You're right. There's no doubt about that. I mean, going back to your point about the Bears thinking that, you know, rookie Justin Fields and Andy Dalton are better than Trubisky. I mean, that's just, to me, that proves my point. I mean, I'm a Bears fan here, right? Like, it's the system. It's from the top down. Like, everything went wrong with the way that Trubisky was developed. He was handled. Like, this is exactly what he needs. He needs to come into a proven system with a coach that can help to develop him, a team that can help to develop him. And I think we see that happen. There's no guarantees, right? He could just be a turd. I don't know. But that's why I'm more in on Deontay than you.
You know, I like it. We need to have some conflict once in a while. We're too close. We're getting too close. Me and you are liking each other too much. I'm glad we have a wrench in this whole thing. That's good news. But that's all we got for today, folks. This is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast, wide receiver rankings 16 through 20. Make sure you subscribe to the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on YouTube. Make sure you also check us up on Spotify. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're over there as well. And finally, make sure you go to Razzball Fantasy on TikTok and IG, and also go to razzball.com for all the content you need to win your fantasy leagues. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby Lamarck. You can follow me at Bobby Lamarck on Twitter. That man's Donkey Teeth. You can follow him on Twitter at DonkeyTeeth87. We are out of here.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.